Words for Life is a recent talk by Pastor Jonathan Miller of Eastleigh Community Church in East Bentleigh here in Melbourne.
Question is, am I alone? Does anyone else ever make bad decisions? Not every hand went up then. Remember, we're in church. God is watching. Does anyone else here ever make bad decisions? Yes. Okay. So I'm not alone. That's good to know. So one of the reasons why we make bad decisions is that we exist in lineal time. That is, we can't actually see the future. So as much as we use our brains and try to think things through and work it out, we're bound to make mistakes because we don't know what's going to happen. The good news, of course, is we have access to one who exists outside of lineal time because he created lineal time. Of course, I'm talking about God. I'm guessing this is not new. You kind of know these things. You realize that God exists outside of time, and you realize that he always makes perfect decisions. So the challenge then is, how do we bridge the gap? How do we access this perfect knowledge of correct decision-making? Well, there are several ways. God has given us several ways that we can access, we can hear from him, we can access what he knows. And I urge you to use more than one way, particularly for the big decisions, for the decisions when there are significant consequences for the decisions that we make. So I'm going to go through today quickly a few of those methods for hearing from God. And as with most things, good place to start is, of course, with the Bible. What a surprise. So we know the Bible has got lots of good information, lots of good ideas. The Bible has got lots of, I've got it on the slide. There we go. Use the Bible. Yeah. Lots of, indications for us of God's will. So we get kind of the big picture stuff from God. We get an idea of the general concepts of what it is that he wants. Sometimes we need to go a little bit deeper. So, you know, I highly recommend knowing your Bible well for this particular reason. If you want to hear from God, start by making sure you really know the Bible well so that you get the general principles of what he wants us to do, what he wants you to do. How do we access the Bible? So apart from just reading through it, believe it or not, one of the things I mainly use is Google to access the Bible. Seriously, if there's something that I'm thinking, what is God's opinion about this? I will do a Google search. And I thought, what's a really silly Google search that I could do to just try to get God's will? And I thought, all right, buying a new car. That's not in the Bible, is it? Buying a new car. So I did a Google search. What does God say about buying a new car? And believe it or not, I came up with a website that was called Bible Verses About Cars. Well, there you go. And there were six different Bible verses about cars. So here's the first one that I found. It comes from Nahum, from the Old Testament. The chariots storm through the streets, rushing back and forth through the squares. They look like flaming torches. They dart about like lightning. Now, that might mean nothing to you. And it might be that you're even looking to buy a new car and you read that and that means nothing. On the other hand, that might be just the thing you need. Who's to say? And it's a worthwhile process to go through, to see what's there, to dig a little bit. As I said, I use Google. Another way that you might want to do your Bible research is just to go, God, what do I need to do? And open the Bible at randomly. I don't highly recommend it, but people do it. And again, it's just one of those things you can try. And you might go, nothing. Or you might go, oh, that's exactly what I needed to read today. And I hear that often. And it might be you don't even have any specific question. You might just be thinking, God, what have you got for me today? And you go, open the Bible, you read, and then something will jump out at you. Remember, the Bible is living, and God can do amazing things, and passages jump out. Passages just kind of leap out and go, here, this is for you today. And then you kind of interpret it for your own life. So there are different ways of using the Bible. But as I said, if you do have that general overall good understanding of the Bible, then perhaps better than those random openings, is to apply those general principles that I kind of spoke about last week. So when it comes to buying a car, your general principle might be being a good steward with the gifts that God has given you, with the things that God has given you. That's being a good steward. We know that's definitely a general principle that's in the Bible. And then how do you apply that to having a car? Well, is buying a new car being a good steward, or would you be better off to buy a used car? Would you be better off to keep your car? Would you be better off with a bicycle? There's no set answer. You've got to apply that to your life, come up with your answer. But you need that background. You know, if you thought that the Bible just said, actually, you should go ahead and get the best all the time, I reckon that's probably not exactly what God's saying. And it's probably because you don't really thoroughly know your Bible properly. And that's why knowing the Bible properly is really useful. But you still got to be able to apply it. A lot of this is hit and miss, and that's why I said it's important to use lots of methods. So we'll go through a few of those methods, and it might be you apply all of them, and it might be you've got 10 more, and that's cool too. So another way that God uses to talk to us is he uses people. He uses the people around us to talk to us. And I see three different ways that he uses other people. One of them is what I call incidental. So incidental is where you haven't specifically asked, but you're listening and you hear from other people what it is that God wants for you. So I've got an example for that. That happened in the last couple of weeks. So at the last leadership meeting, I was talking about our sign, our beautiful sign, and how I know several people that drive up and down this street several times a week and have done for many, many years and have no idea that there's a church here. And to me, that's a failure of the sign. So we spoke about that, so that's a hint. You'll probably see that that sign's going to be changed relatively soonish, but that's on the cards. No, that's not the point. So the point is, I mentioned that, and then within the next few days, Jenny has told me, that two different people came up to her and said, you know, I was coming to church looking for the church, and I couldn't find it. Couldn't see the sign. There you go. There's a sign about a sign. That's a dad joke. I can't help it. You're with me on that one? Glad. Couldn't help it. So another example of this incidental way that God uses people to speak to us was when we were living in Mauritius, and we knew that we were going to go to the States, and we had no idea where to go. And we had two American friends, and we said to them, where do you think we should go? And then also I was in my shop. An American guy came in who was a Messianic Jew like me. His name was Jonathan like me. I thought, oh, I better ask him. All three of them said Austin, Texas. Of all the cities in the States, I mean, you know, there's hundreds. All three of them said Austin, Texas. And we're like, okay, God, we got it. God clearly used all these people to send us to Austin. We didn't actually like Austin, but that's okay. Austin was okay. But we were really learnt a lot in Austin. We joined a great church. We really learnt how to do church well. And there's no doubt that God wanted us to go there for that season to see that church, how to do it. It was kind of difficult for me because it was really contemporary and I wasn't really into that at the time. So it was eye-opening. But this church, in the year that we were there, grew from about 150 to 400 in a year. It was explosive growth and it was great. So we learned a lot about doing church well. But the point was, God wanted us to go there and he used people to send us there through incidental word. The next one is what I call intentional. Intentional is when you go to someone and you say, what do you think God thinks about this? Now, it's important that you get clear that you're not asking them, what do you think about this? You can ask them that as well. But it's important that you say, what do you think God thinks about this? Now, they might use my previous method of the fact that they happen to know the Bible, or they might say, let me research that and use one of those methods, or they might use my third method, which is inspirational, which we'll come back to. Inspirational is where they might say, well, let me pray over that. Let me hear from God directly, and then I'll get back to you. So sometimes we can go to people and God can speak to them on our behalf. In fact, that can happen quite a lot. Now, when it comes to hearing from God directly, mostly we don't hear audible words. It happens occasionally to a few people. And when it does happen, usually, from what I've heard, it happens once or twice in their life. Most of us, it really doesn't happen hardly at all. Now, if people are telling you they're hearing the audible word of God all the time, I'd be weary of that person because I don't have evidence that that's the way that God works. But people do hear. And mostly it's through our thoughts. But it's more than just thoughts. Sometimes it's just a thought. But it's a thought that's accompanied by a certainty when there's no reason for it to be certain. That's the most common way that I have experienced, and I've heard of people describing their experience of hearing from God, is where they say, I just know. I don't know why I know. I just know. And I always take that as being a good sign. Now, again, I will use all the methods. I'll check that. Well, they think they know, but I'll check that against the Bible to see, and I might see if there are other signs around, especially if it's a big decision. But that's often the method. And it's not usually accompanied with excitement. I don't see that in the Bible, and I haven't experienced that in my life. Excitement is great, it's energizing, and it's moving. But I actually think that when we get a clear word from God, it's accompanied with peace, not excitement. So when I think, I know what to do next, and I'm all excited, I will wait. I'll generally pray over that at night, and I'll wait until the next morning when excitement's died down, and I'll say, okay, where are we at now? Am I peaceful with this? Am I feeling ill at ease? If I'm still excited, then I still wait. But I wait for that peace. And I think that God uses peace to bless our thoughts to his thoughts. Or he uses peace for us to know that we've heard his thoughts. So peace is what we're looking for when we're trying to hear from God. Now, when it comes to hearing from God this way, some people are just naturally gifted. It's, you know, it's like any kind of skill where some people off the bat don't have to do anything. They just hear really clearly from God. And those people we call prophets in the church. And they just have a natural ability to hear. There are other people that don't hear from God at all. Those people we call atheists. I'm not necessarily atheist, but, most of us are somewhere in the middle of the spectrum where we can hear, but we kind of struggle. Here's the thing. It is something you can get better at. When I was about 16, back in 1900, I had singing lessons, and I had a lovely old teacher. And the first thing he said to me was, people come in here with beautiful voices to try to get better, and there's nothing I can do. They never get any better. There are other people that come in here who can barely hold a tune, but they can learn, and I can teach them, and they get better and better and better. And often those people end up better singers than the people that come in with a natural gifting. So the key isn't about how well they can sing, it's about how well they can learn. It's the ability to learn that makes the difference in the long run. And, of course, being able to apply that. And it's the same thing when it comes from hearing from God. That might be a huge revelation for lots of us. We just think, well, those people, they're the prophets. They hear, I'm not going to bother because it's not me. But what I want to tell you is that God is speaking all the time. He is a loving Father and he wants to communicate with us. He wants us to hear him. He wants to be in relationship and have a conversation with us. The issue is not whether God is willing to talk to us. The issue is, are we able to hear from him? And we can practice to get better at it. And we will. Just a warning. So often when it comes to hearing from God, people get a bit scared. And they say, how do I know it's not the devil that's talking to me? If you look through the Bible, there are no instances of the devil ever speaking directly into someone's head. We do have demonic possession, where it's a complete takeover of a body, okay? And that's really obvious. Now, I'm looking around and I'm thinking none of us are actually demonically possessed, as far as I can tell. And I can generally tell these things. So I'm going to say that I'm pretty sure that it's not the devil's voice that's speaking to us. The devil is not a god. The devil does not have divine powers. He cannot do the same things that God can do. The devil is just a fallen angel. He kind of gets a scarier rap, or we attribute to him more things that are really true. So if you're not demonically possessed and you're hearing thoughts that are negative, assume they're actually coming from you. The earth is corrupt. We are, you know, the product of this earth. And so we are not perfect. So assume it's actually your own thoughts. But it's not demonic thoughts. I'm telling you, you do not have demonic thoughts. He doesn't have the power to speak directly to us. Okay. So it's a short sermon today, because it's Holy Spirit Day, and I want to get into some practical exercises.